Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors, the world's leading organization for Christian mental health care providers and advocates, with over 50,000 engaged members and students. I'm Jim Kress, and on behalf of our host, Dr. Tim Clinton, and his son, Zach, thank you for making us a part of your day. We appreciate your time and your support for what we do to help you grow better relationships and a deeper faith. We want to be your daily encouragement to help you help others for your life, your love, your faith, and your family. If you like what you hear, tell a friend, won't you? And join us on social media for more fresh content. Just go to timclinton.com to find out more. And now, let's join our host, Zach Clinton.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Zach Clinton, Vice President of the AACC and co-host here at LLFF, along with my dad, Dr. Tim. Thank you for joining us today. Today's topic is going to be about finding our strength while single, how we can conquer yesterday's regrets, ditch tomorrow's worries, and thrive right where God has us as we dive into our guest's newest book titled Single Today. Our special guest is a storyteller and the teaching pastor of Red Rocks Austin, which is a young, growing, and thriving church. He holds his master's degree from Talbot School of Theology and is co-host of not one but two podcasts. The first is called Stories in Scripture, a show that brings the Bible to life for people all around the world. And the second is titled Afterthoughts, a weekly conversation about faith, culture, and the church. Again, today, we'll be unpacking his newest book, Single Today. Joining us is Ryan Weckman. Ryan, it's a delight to have you, my friend.
Zach, that was such a good introduction, man. Thank you for saying those kind words, and it's so good to be here.
I cannot wait to unpack your book, my friend, and really dive into this topic of singleness, one that I think is imperative to discuss for such a time as this. But before we go there, as I mentioned, you're the teaching pastor of Red Rocks Austin, but you started this church, I saw, with some of your best friends. I'm interested, how did that come about, and what has God done over the last several years?
Such a good question. So 6 years ago, we moved from Denver, Colorado to Austin, Texas. And by we, I mean my brother, Doug, and our best friend, Ethan. So the three of us have had this dream to plant a church really for over a decade. And we get an opportunity. So Red Rock started in Denver back in 2005. Been a part of that for a long time. And they gave us an opportunity to go start our own location wherever we wanted. And we picked Austin, Texas. So we moved here in the middle of July, and it was so hot, and we didn't know anybody, and we had no idea how to plant a church. But we just started doing hangouts and inviting people to build community with us. And we would do these like Wednesday night pre-launches where like 30 people would show up, you know, and we just thought it was so fun and so cool. And long story short, we're here and we're up to 5 services, and God's just been doing something really, really special through it.
It's evident, man, that you guys are growing, that there's something special happening in Austin. I got to ask then, the Red Rocks Theater, I'm sure you've probably been to a few concerts in your day. What is maybe a top one that you've seen?
You know what? I saw, let me give you 2 answers to this. Yeah. The first is going to be very nerdy. Do you know who John Tesh is? He's old school. So back in 1994, he rented out Red Rocks Amphitheater and did this, like, he's a piano player and he had like a whole orchestra. And so I grew up watching the VHS of that, like on repeat, and always like wanted to do that when I grew up, and then found out I wasn't very musically inclined. But I saw John Mayer there years ago, and that, so there's something so different about him. It's just, he is just special, man. So that was a fun night.
It's crazy, man, just because every time I hear Red Rocks, right, that amphitheater comes to mind, I'm like, that would be so much fun to get out there to a concert, to do great things like that. But recently, my friend, topic of conversation today, you finished your book titled Single Today, Conquer Yesterday's Regrets, Ditch Tomorrow's Worries, and Thrive Right Where You Are. Ryan, let's be honest, man, singleness can be a heavy topic, carries a lot of shame, pain, and questions. Help our listeners understand just why the topic of singleness can just be so weighty.
I think right from the second page of the Bible, we get the answer to that. It's not good for us to be alone. Like God literally created us to be with other people. And so a little bit about my story is I've been a single pastor for the last 10 years. And singleness has always been something that I've felt very comfortable with. However, I'm a huge proponent of marriage. I officiate weddings all the time, always pushing people to get married. So I've found this like really kind of a unique space to sit with people in their singleness with authority of being single myself. But yeah, it's funny, man. It's like, although marriage hasn't been a desire for me, I see the struggle of singleness and I push people towards it. And I think it's a good, like marriage is God's idea and it's so good. It's just that today in our day and age, there is a lot of uncomfortable conversations that come with it. There's a lot of breakups. There's a lot of baggage. There's a lot of bitterness. There's a lot of loneliness. Like isolation is now an epidemic. There are so many struggles that single people face today. And so my heart behind this was always just to pastor the person who was struggling, right? Like right in the middle of their singleness.
Man, dude, I love your heart because we see it all the time in the mental health space, right? Like you said, loneliness, isolation, it's the invisible illness of our day and age. And it's always the undiagnosed illnesses that can be the most deadly and dangerous. And so in this season of life, it's being able to recognize, yeah, that there are some people that are singles that maybe really struggle with that. They crave it, right? But they maybe are craving it for all the wrong reasons. But before we dive in really there, you've mentioned there are sometimes, as you're a single pastor, right, that you'll get or receive some of those backhanded compliments, right, where it's like, but Ryan, dude, you're awesome. Like, I love talking to you, Ryan. But like, how are you still single, right? And some of those things can be actually detrimental for somebody that's walking through those types of seasons. Tell us why.
Man, yeah, so many conversations, especially with like extended family over holidays. I was playing golf with a good friend of mine a while back, and he said, I'm really not looking forward to going home for Christmas this year. And not that he doesn't love his family, he just is single. And he knew the conversations that were coming and the questions that were coming. And to your point, typically disguised as compliments, you know, like, oh, but you're so awesome. How are you still single? And so, you know, like what we hear, like if you're listening to this and you have a single friend or a kid who's single and you've tried to talk to them about their singleness and they've shut down, let me help you real quick. The reason they're shutting down is because when you say that, you're so amazing, how are you still single? What we are hearing is, I guess there's like a deeper rooted issue with me that I'm not aware of yet, you know, then we start to spiral and we go there. And so like so often the conversations around singleness are meant, like people have good intentions. They mean things as compliments, but it comes out as like, there's something wrong with you. And until you figure that out, you're just going to be perpetually single, you know, for the rest of your life. And so, I always advise people to just think through the types of words that we use around single people, because it is a very sensitive topic.
Yeah. And like you said, I think it can lead to that point of shame and insecurity, you know what I mean? Where it's like, man, nothing's wrong with the person that's single, right? There may be some things that they're working through, but that has nothing to do with, you know, why they're not in relationship at the same time. And don't kind of just stigmatize people and don't just give them these blanket identities, if that makes sense. That being said, as you wrote your book, Single Today, you've been able to expose a pattern that all the insecurities of singleness fit into two categories, really what you've kind of identified as the enemies of singleness. And man, I dare to say two enemies that all of us have to face on a daily basis, which are yesterday and tomorrow. Ryan, give us some more insight into the both of those.
Yeah, and to your point, Zach, this isn't just a book for single people. This is a book for people. Because really at the end of the day, it's a book about contentment.
Yeah.
And it's following the call of Jesus to not worry about tomorrow, but just be present where you're at, because you have a purpose and a calling on your life today. But so years ago, I've had over 1,000 like pastoral meetings with other single people. I think I always throw that number out. It's up there. I haven't been checking it off. And when it comes to singleness, there's all these different insecurities, all these different issues that people are throwing at you. And then I was on a walk one day and I realized, like, it stuck for me, like, oh, we can organize this into two categories. Like, all of these issues that and all of these struggles and all of these insecurities are really one of two things. It's either yesterday or it's tomorrow. So to break that down, yesterday being the shame and the regret from the past. It's the coulda, shoulda, woulda. It's the ones that got away. It's the, I can't believe I sent that text. Should I have sent that text? Or I can't believe I didn't send that text. Should I have sent that text? You know, those head games that every human has to deal with, but especially when it comes to romantic relationships, all of that, maybe it's regret. Like maybe it's something that happened in the relationship. You know, that's the enemy's playground is unprocessed pain from the past. And so all of that stuff from yesterday, it really ties us down and it holds us back and it keeps us spiraling and keeps us from being present today. But that's only the first third of the book. Is healing from that. The second third of the book is tomorrow, and it's the future, and it's worry about, well, is this going to be for the rest of my life? And is there something wrong with me? Like, am I just going to repeat these habits? Am I doomed and destined to just keep getting into these toxic relationships? All of that worry about the future is so real. Am I running out of time? Is a huge one. You know, like feeling like there's like a shot clock up in the sky. Right. I always laugh when I walk through our lobby at Red Rocks Austin, especially on a Sunday morning. It'll be like packed out and so fun, but a whole lot of single people. And I always feel this like anxious. You know, when you're watching like a basketball team and there's a minute left and the shot clock's down and they're like behind and
throwing
they're
throwing up like shots.
They're just throwing up prayers. Like I feel like there's like this, we got to figure this out and we got to figure this out now. And I want to tell everyone, hey, just exhale. Because Jesus, again, said things like, don't worry about tomorrow. But who's right in front of you today? And what's right in front of you today? And what is God calling you to do today? And so that's kind of the framework of the book is helping people heal from yesterday, but then surrender tomorrow. And those are really the first two big steps to learning to be present where we're at. And it's wild, and I would love to hear your thoughts on this, but when you do that work, which is why I'm such a proponent of counseling, for example, when you do that work, you start to realize that right in front of you today, God is giving you neighbors to love, people to love, and baristas to encourage, and cashiers to smile at, right? Like there are opportunities for you to make heaven more crowded and push the gospel forward right in front of you today. You just got to be aware of it. I just went into pastor mode right there. Sorry, I'm a pastor. That's who I am.
I love it.
But whatever that means for you as a listener, whatever God has for you today is present, and it's an amazing opportunity. You just got to do the work to put down the other two. Does that make sense?
Absolutely makes sense, my friend. I think I always say that today is a gift, and that's why they call it the present, right? Presents are always known as gifts. And so when you can live in this moment, when you can, again, get rid of yesterday, the shame of the past, the regret, when you can get rid of the fear of the future, right? All of these things, and you can live in this moment. That's when good things can begin to happen. But Ryan, you know, I saw recently you preached a message on God rails of singleness and dating, right? And I wanted to dive into that a little bit because I'm interested to the listener out there. Maybe someone at single is out there listening and they hear what you're saying about being content, but also they want to have the balance because maybe they do still really want to have and be in a romantic relationship. And how do they be content where they're at while still being open and receptive to the idea of relationship in the future?
Gosh, such a good question. Yeah, so one, I just want to encourage your listener that is a desire that God has given you.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful desire. We are praying for you. We are on your team. We want to help. Like, I can't wait. I wrote a book about singleness, but ironically, I think a whole bunch of people are going to get married from reading it.
Yeah.
And those are the moments that I'm like super, like, I'm just very, very excited for that. Because it's really, at the end of the day, it's a book about getting healthy.
That's right.
And so, yes, I preach a sermon called God Rails for Singleness and Dating. And it's a pun that was making me laugh all week. I took it around to our staff. Like, the idea is singleness and dating is a journey. It's like a road. There's so many ways that we can crash to the left and the right. What we need are some guardrails. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, well, we can't just call them guardrails. We got to call them Godrails. And it's like such a cheesy pastor move, but it stuck with people. So some of these guardrails that I see in scripture let's start here. I think what you need are both purpose and holiness. And so one of the reasons that singleness can be such a struggle is because we aren't infusing it with purpose. And like you look at the Apostle Paul, right? Like he was single, but he didn't seem to be struggling with it. In fact, he writes at times that like it's better for him. But that's because he was living on mission. He was living with purpose. And like I'll meet with a guy who will just be like, man, I'm living that Paul life. And I'll push him like, are you?
Yeah.
Does your life look like Paul, or is this an excuse to like play video games all day, you know, and not have responsibilities and delay your adolescence? Like, are you living on purpose? Not to say we have to all be Paul and go plant all these churches and do all these crazy things, but God does have a purpose for your life. So that's one side of the God rail. The second, though, I would say is you got to couple that with holiness, right? Because you can have purpose and still go off the rails. We see this happen all the time. Holiness is a deep call in Scripture that I feel called to call single people towards holiness. Like yeah. I think I see a day, an age where we are swinging the pendulum back towards purity in a non-legalistic way, but in a very God-honoring way. So I want to always push people, and especially single people, towards holiness. Now, holiness doesn't mean perfection. It means that we're pursuing the perfecter, right? Our holiness doesn't come from our good works. It comes from what Jesus did for us on the cross. And then when we align ourselves with that belief, then we go, okay, but, and also, how did Jesus live? Let's strive, albeit imperfectly, let's continue to strive to be single the way Jesus was single. And so that's one set of guardrails that I would give you is, let's go purpose on one side and holiness on the other. If you can get those two guardrails up every single morning, you're going to find that there is a whole lot of abundant life is infused into your singleness. And you just may look to your left or right and see somebody else who also has those two guardrails up and realize that you would actually make a great team together and something beautiful may come from that. I can give those all day. That's you it. Want another guardrail, or
Give me another one.
All right, here's a really practical one for dating. Clarity on one side of the road and kindness on the other. And so one of the things I've observed, and I would imagine like counselors today, one of the big things that they have to unpack in counseling is the fallout and the baggage from relationships where one person wasn't being clear.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is a God-honoring thing to just be very, very crystal clear about your intentions. And I think I'm talking to the men right now, because this goes all the way back to the fall. Like when you read Genesis 3, by the fall, we just mean when Adam and Eve ate the fruit that God told them not to eat. And it's a haunting picture. Eve eats the fruit, and then it just says, and gave it to her husband who was there with her. And we don't, that's like all the details we get, but it seems like Adam was just sort of there in this like apathetic fog.
Right,
where he was just like, well, hey, I think maybe God told us not to, whatever. He just wasn't being clear. He wasn't stepping up and leading in a clear way. And so I think one of the things that we have to get back to is, let's be really, really clear, which means when it comes to dating, if you want to take somebody on a date, saying things like, hey, I would love to take you on a date. And then when you get to the end of the first date, saying one of two things. Number one, I really enjoyed hanging out with you today. I don't see our values aligning. I don't see this going any further. And I just wanted to be really clear about that. But I just want to honor you and your time and thank you for hanging out. That's the first option. Here's the second. Hey, I really loved hanging out with you today. I want to get to know you more if you are open to it. I would love to go on a second date with you. Now, those are two very different things to say, but what do they both have in common? It's that clarity.
Yeah.
Right? And it may not be the thing the other person wants to hear, but at least they don't have to spend the next 3 weeks wondering about it.
That's right.
And so clarity is such an important God rail, but that's only one side of the road because you can be clear and still crash.
Right.
Right. Like I'll meet with guys and be like, well, like I told her how I felt and like clarity is kindness. And it's like, not the way you just did it, bro. There was nothing kind about how you just said that. And so the other God rail is kindness. And if we can learn to walk with both clarity and kindness. And by the way, Jesus is the master at this, right? Like look at the way that he would interact with people. It would always be, I love you. I'm with you. That's that clarity, or that's that kindness. And then the clarity is, this thing that you're doing is destroying your life, and I have to tell you about it. That's that clarity. And then he would be right back to, let's go get a meal. You know, like, let's sit down at the table. So practically speaking, with Jesus as our model, you just sandwich it. You go kindness, tell him something that you really, don't get generic with it. It's not you're so great. It's look him in the eye and tell them something you respect about them as an individual person. And then it's, here's, I need to be really clear with you about where I'm at here. And then it's right back to kindness and honoring them and respecting them as a human being. And so that, by the way, that's a good framework for dating. It's also just a good framework for being a human being.
Absolutely.
Living with other human beings on this fallen world. And so that's what I would say, a couple God rails for you, purpose and holiness, and then clarity and kindness.
Good, man. Two God rails, purpose and holiness, clarity and kindness. One of them, like you said, purpose and holiness is about the pursuit over the perfection aspect, kind of living a life of obedience. Clarity, like you said, and kindness is being able to effectively and efficiently communicate your expectations in a kind, respectful, and honoring way. Ryan, those are two great things, not just for singleness, not just for relationships, but like you said, for life in general. My friend, as we kind of wrap up these conversations, these things go by so quick. But what I would ask of you is, for the person out there today who maybe feels discouraged, who maybe feels deflated, disappointed, dissatisfied with their relationship status, I'm reminded of the old quote that healthy people are who make healthy relationships. What's the word of advice that you would leave that listener with today about how they cannot waste their weight and use this time for what God has ordained it to be used for?
There's a quip that always, or a question that always gets asked, especially in the church, when you are single for a long period of time, people will say, hey, do you have the gift of singleness? And it's one of those questions, another one of those questions that make single people spiral, because what we hear is, oh no, if I have the gift of singleness, then I guess I'm going to be single for the rest of my life, right? And I like to reframe that. I like to say, actually, singleness is a gift. And so to the person that you just described, who's discontent with where they're at, what I would say is, one, again, that desire to be married, that desire to have a family is God-honoring, and we're with you in that. However, today, you are single. And so your singleness is a gift today. Today, you have an opportunity to put in the work to heal from yesterday, and to surrender tomorrow, and to live on purpose right where you're at. And so as Jesus, with Jesus as our model, as the person that we're trying to be like, what would it look like to, just for the next 24 hours, to love God and love your neighbor as yourself? And I think if we can do that, we can start changing the connotation that single people, connotation of singleness, that single people aren't synonymous with selfishness, but rather selflessness. And so today, as you are living this life of being single, how can you serve somebody else? How can you love somebody else? How can you encourage somebody else? How can you live on purpose today?
That's so good. Be content exactly where God has you. Others, they can be great compliments, but they cannot be your completion. Only one can make you whole, and that name is Jesus. Ryan, let me ask you, my friend, where can people, all the listeners, go to find out more about you, to find out more about Red Rocks Austin, but also to purchase your new book, Single Today?
Yeah, so ryanweckman.com is where all the information is at for the book. There's a trailer on there. There's all the links to order the book wherever books are sold. I have a new third podcast called Single Today.
Come on.
Where I'm diving deeper into all these conversations. There's also meditations on there that are about helping people actually name the feelings that they're feeling and feel them and inviting God's presence into them. That's a great way to both heal from yesterday and surrender tomorrow. And so dive deep into the Single Today podcast, get the book. And then if you're in Austin, come hang out at Red Rocks Austin or stop in and say hi. We'd love to have you for a service.
Man, Ryan, my friend, thank you just for all that you're doing, for all the invaluable resources that you're offering so many of us. I challenge all of our listeners to go check out all the incredible things that you have to offer. And again, Red Rocks Austin, if you're in the area, you better stop by. Ryan, thank you for your time and for your willingness to join us on the show today, my friend.
Zach, I love what you're doing, man. Keep up the good work.
That being said, to all of our listeners, we come to you each week right here to bring you a word of hope and encouragement and to help strengthen your life, love, and relationships with God and those close to you. Know that God loves you and that He's there for you. You've been listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family with Dr. Tim and Zach Clinton. We love being a part of your life. For more information, visit timclinton.com. Thanks so much for listening.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors, the world's leading organization for Christian mental health care providers and advocates, with over 50,000 engaged members and students. On behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, we pray God's richest blessing on you and your family. Be sure to join us again next time, and don't forget to go to timclinton.com to contact us, tell us how we're doing, and maybe ask a question or two, or simply for more information on our resources and upcoming events. I'm Jim Kress. Thanks again for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family.